His leading, His word. You know, when Jesus said, "Behold, I have foretold you all things," do you know He meant it? The thing is, you've got to dig it out. You've got to find it. He put it there, and when you pray for that knowledge and that wisdom. But we are in a generation where as many signs are being given that are aligning seemingly to me with the Word of God because of the dates, times, places, so forth. So it's important. Now, I want to show you the eclipse. Notice the redness of the moon, and right down by that station, that is Saturn. A little static on Saturn there. Right before the sea. Do you see Saturn? Yeah. You know what that symbolic of? Satan. And notice the redness of that moon. Would you say it looks like it might be blood? All right. Good. Very good. Thank you, Harlan. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah, great prophet, and I want us to start with chapter 1. And we're not going to do the entire book of Isaiah this afternoon. But I do want to cover a verse or two. First, to prepare our minds, what are moons utilized in time to, in relationship to Saturn or Satan? For he is the prince of darkness. All prophecies given to God's children, you are given in days. Deus. Children of light. Therefore, when we have all these eclipses, putting in the moon in the dark, then these definitely have to do with the spurious Messiah or Satan himself. Again, prophecies relating to you, 1260 days. To Satan, 42 moons. Or if you prefer in the English, months. 42 months, that time is given. Both of them approximately 3.5 years. But that's God's way of doing it. Now, God makes a statement in chapter 1. Let's pick it up about verse 8 so we understand who He's talking to. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Look at her today. Look at the children of this world. How many of them know for sure there even is a God because of what they've been taught, the lives they lead, the surroundings? Think about it. Think how fortunate you are. But really, people have turned away from God, and it's almost an insult to say you're a Christian to some people. To us, we say it with pride because we follow Him. Never, always stand your ground and never let anybody talk down to you as a Christian. You stand up because you are expected to lead and you shall in not too distant a future. 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, and thank God for that remnant, for it is His elect that have been from this time to this, that care, that want more truth. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Now, this is not talking about those, it's saying you'd be like that, okay? So that you don't get pulled off on the next verse. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. That means you that act like Sodom. I could look at the capital today and kind of begin to wonder, you know, that the sodomy and Gomorrah, give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. He's saying you're like that. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? What good is it for you to play church? Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. tired of that stuff. Why? Because he knew Messiah was coming. His blood would be let for one and all times. And your offering is the love offering of your heart, mind, body, and soul to him. To serve him, to love him for what he has done for you. 12. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Who invited you there? And you know, if you want to claim to be a preacher or a teacher or a pastor, it's kind of saying, if you don't know what you're talking about, you don't have any business there. All right? Bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, this is why we came here. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, that's vin in the Hebrew. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. In other words, those that pretend to be leaders and teachers of God's word that mislead souls, though it may be done innocently, I would hate to be in their shoes. God is tired of it. Moon, we go by the solar calendar. And you might say, well, why are you making such a big deal then out of the lunar? Because God wants you to look at their calendar, their ways, so that you know the signs of the time. So that you know what's happening. Let me have a couple of volunteers pull this right up here forward for me, please. Move it up about here so that people can see, please. It's wonderful to serve the Lord. It really is. Thank you. Let's give them a hand. Thank you. All right. We'll start with this color. All right. On April 3rd this year, we had a lunar eclipse. Maybe I should have had one of them volunteer to do this artwork. And it was red. Exactly 6 months later, we had another eclipse, September the 26th, 96, and it was very red. We just viewed a picture of it. When each of these, this happens to be a harvest moon. Do you think it's harvest time? Is that what he's telling you? I don't know. I'm just pointing out that you want to keep your head out of the sand. You want to be ready. You want to be on guard. Now, many say this is the last lunar eclipse until the year 2000. Well, that just isn't. For America, yes. But for the world, no way. No way at all. As a matter of fact, in exactly 6 more months, here in the Americas, we will have a 92% eclipse, and it will look like an upside down U, like a pouring out. It happens March the 23rd, 97, 92%. This happened on Passover, this on Feast of Tabernacles, and this one on Purim. poured out. Both are Sabbaths except for Purim. Purim is not a Sabbath. All right? It comes from the book of Esther, the casting of lots. We have a very strange thing that will be happening at that same time. We'll have a comet on the scene, and when that sucker there goes dark, that comet is going to be firing up the sky. It's called Hale-Bopp. Hale-Bopp will be the closest it will be to Earth on March the 23rd. Many people on the net are already calling her Wormwood. Now, that's hearsay. You don't pay attention to that. But where are they getting this? The rabbinical students have always said that when Hale-Bopp, I'm sorry, they didn't know about Hale-Bopp, that when a comet goes through Orion, the Earth will be destroyed. Hale-Bopp on Passover Day, which will be April. I'm going on their calendar, not ours. You understand? That's why I wanted to make this clear so I don't confuse somebody. 22nd. Also, on April the 22nd and 23rd, you're going to have a shower of northern lights like you haven't seen in a long time in 97. While they're having Passover, Hale-Bopp enters Orion. Hale-Bopp, quite contrary to some people, it's been approximately 4,000 years since it was here before. It was exactly 3,600. You know what was happening 3,600 years ago? We're talking about things that happened once in a lifetime, once in many lifetimes. The children of Israel were preparing to leave Egypt and enter the promised land. Now, this also is a six-month period. But there is another total eclipse. You know when it happens? You got it 6 months later. It happens in Jerusalem. It's totally red. It happens on Repentance Day, which is a Sabbath. Let me see here. We've got a six-month period, a six-month period, and a six-month period. That is 666, isn't it? Well, what? Isn't that interesting? What? And that equals what? 18 months. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 13. You'll remember what 18 stands for. It's bondage. And you'll remember when Jesus was approached and said, suppose ye these Galileans were sinners above all those 18 that died. Or he would say in verse 4, are those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell? But then he gets to the point, and it's very important to you, in verse 15, where he says, the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite. He healed this woman, okay, that had been ill, however, for 18 months. Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And, of course, bondage is in direct relationship to Satan. And of course, you know, sometimes you like to play with numbers. You know, if we were to double 18 and take this on out, another set of three and add one more to it, that'd be seven sets of six. You'd have 42, which is 42 months. Or about 3.5 years would take you to the year 2000. There's some interesting things going to happen in 2000. I'll be talking more about them here in a little bit. I want to share some thoughts on what you want to be looking for on March the 23rd. It's going to be quite a show. It really is. The comet Hale-Bopp will make its closest approach to Earth on Purim, which begins the early morning of Wednesday the 23rd, March the 23rd in 1997. This is an extremely large, bright comet, perhaps the largest, brightest comet ever discovered. This comet will be visible in a most spectacular way because it will be visible during an eclipse of Levena, which is to say the moon, that will be a spectacular, deep, partial one that falls just short of totality, 92%. In North America, the moon has a chance of being red or black sackcloth. The moon will be dark or red, with a comet will be extremely bright and visible. Additionally, the red maze planet, Medem or Mars, will be under and very close to this red moon. Hale-Bopp has been called wormwood by several sites on the internet. If this comet is to be like the biblical wormwood, it will need to break up and leave only a piece hit the Earth. If the whole comet hit the Earth, it would be unlikely for any life to survive. But think about it. The last time it went by, Pharaoh was being dealt out a rough hand. Fire came from heaven in one place. I'm not saying that's what happened, but man, wouldn't that be something? Could that be a reason that when she went through, she tapped something? I'm going to stand about along here for a minute. Those car windows are really knocking my eyes out. I bet it should give me a halo as bright as those things. That sun shining in there. But I'm just saying it's an oddity. You know they saw it. Because the thing is, it's as big as a mountain, 25 to 100 miles across. It's huge. And that's when it went by. They could not have missed it. It would have been a sign during the... Boy, thank you, sir. If I was as big as you are, I could block out the sun, too. Thank you very much. Okay. I want to just make a point or two. And it is true that the rabbinical scholars believe that very definitely that when a comet goes through Orion, that's the end. And of course, when Hale-Bopp passes through Orion, the Talmudic scholars see this as indicating the destruction of the Earth. Hale-Bopp will pass through Orion starting the day after Passover, April the 23rd. I got it there, 23rd. During the counting of Omer, and will complete the transit on Feast of Weeks, June the 11th. We've got some really exciting things that are happening. And of course, you know that the holiday Purim was Esther or Ishtar's time and was the casting of lots. Now, this meteor shower that I was telling you about on April the 22nd at this same time is the earliest of all major showers. They produce a fairly consistent display. The meteors are medium fast, 28 miles a second, with the hourly rates rarely going above 20. They have been expectations with 1803 and 1920 exceptions in 1803 and 1923 when there were about 96 per hour. That's history. A burst of 250 an hour for a few minutes in 1982. Some of you may remember that. It's a beauty. What does it mean? It means there's going to be a meteor shower. At the same time, though, that Passover and the comet passed the nearest Earth. Do I think the world's going to end because the comet Hale-Bopp goes through Orion? No. The world will end when God's ready for it to. All right? You've got to learn to separate traditions of men away from what you actually see, but don't ever stop looking and praying for understanding of what you do see. Now, there's another interesting thing. It's going to be very difficult for me to explain this because when this eclipse took place, if you were to have been each day, you know, we have the miracles of computers. If you shoot Virgo via computer at the Feast of Trumpets starting at the, in that year, which would have, pardon me, would have been here, and worked to the year 2000, Virgo, for the first time, works her way toward Draco, which is the dragon, that's Satan, all right, another star for Satan. Each year, she moves closer and closer until year 2000, only stars, the angel's hair, and I, this is out of my league. I can't remember what the star for angel hair, Buzz, do you know, can you tell me real quick? Anyway, angel hair. Hey, that'll do. You want it. You can't get much better than that. Is standing between the virgin who is giving birth, supposedly, and the dragon. Well, that brings a lot of scripture to mind, does it not? Remember Revelation 12, where once before it happened and the dragon was going to wait to grab the baby from the woman? This time it would remind you that there's angels between the virgin and Satan, because the earth is going to open up and swallow the flood of lies from Satan as Antichrist and protect the woman in the wilderness. My friend, these are signs that haven't necessarily happened before. Your father's telling you something, and you need to pay attention. Now, also, on the year 2000, on May the 7th, you will have a line. You will have Venus, Mars, the Moon, let's see, Venus, Mercury, the Sun, Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, and Moon. I better see how many I got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, 7 of them. They're going to be in a perfect line. May the 7th, the year, not 2001, but 2000. In the Book of Antiquities, Josephus, in Book 3, Chapter 7, verse 7, Josephus calls this the menorah of the heavens. And what it really is, it's the seven, it's symbolic of the seven eyes from the stone that are 7,000 of God's elect. The rock that has, the stone that has eyes. I have reference to Zechariah chapter 3, the closing verses, as it changes into the menorah where the Spirit of God runs through the seven-stemmed light that pours the Spirit of truth into the people of the world. All right? And soon after this, the two sons of oil, or the two witnesses, no gender, appear. So we're really, I mean, hey, we're coming into some very, these things don't happen every day. And we're coming into some extremely exciting times. Now, I've done a lot of talking. I read another man's paper. Thank God for him. He's one of our students. Big help. But we got to go to the Bible with this, or we got nothing, right? You bet. We got nothing. Zil. Zero. So let's get to the Word. But you will have to admit it sounded good, didn't it? All right. Happening in a harvest moon, indicating we're coming up on a harvest time. And I'll tell you, let's go to Acts. Book of Acts. I can't seem to find the New Testament here this afternoon. Book of Acts chapter 2. I want to know a little bit about what the Bible says in relationship to where we have a big flash of eclipses and very fantastic marvels taking place. And I think of Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, you're all familiar with it. That's the day of Pentecost, when they would give the example of Joel the prophet. And it reads in verse 17, chapter 2, "And it shall come to pass," not maybe, "it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." How much? All. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy," both men, women, male, female. "And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." It doesn't even leave us old ducks out. You know, we get in the act, all right? Verse 18. "And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." You know where this is talking about. Mark 13, when you're delivered up before the Spurious Messiah. Verse 19, "And I will show wonders in heaven above." Anytime wonders happen in heaven above, that's a wonder, all right? That's a wonder. "And signs in the earth beneath," even here, "blood and fire and vapor of smoke." Listen carefully, sharpen up for me. "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great day, that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And what can we make of that? What can we make of that? Here's the sun. Here's the earth. And here's the moon. The sun's rays go out, and the earth blocks the sun from the moon, and it's black, it's dark. So, when the subject is the moon turning red, can the sun be seen here on the moon? If you were on the moon here, would you be able to see the sun? The answer is no. It'd be black. It's gone. It's out. Sun turned black because earth moved in between. How many witnesses do you need? One, two, three, four. There'll be more. What he's saying to you, I think our day is very soon. And I think that it's time that we stay more so into His Word, and to seek and pray more about knowledge. God is trying to get our attention. He's telling us something. It might, in a sense, that repentance looks like an R. It looks like a P instead of an R there. But repentance might be what He's talking about, in a sense. He wants the world to repent. And, hey, You wait till he starts pulling some of the tricks out of the bag, and they'll start repenting. For some, it'll be too late. But he has chosen a people that he intends to use in these generations. And he has given you signs, and he has also given you the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding. Let's go back to the book of Joel. Let's read that from the Old Testament. Joel chapter 2, the locust army has come. We pick it up in verse 28. In 28 in the book of Joel, we'll be reading the same thing, but I want you to hear a double witness so that you've got it for sure. And it shall come to pass, book of Joel, one of the minor prophets, and it shall come to pass afterward, that's after the locust, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Those two have to be at the same time. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That's what he wants. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Not volunteer, the Lord shall call. I don't know, has he called you? Pull your chain? I would think he had. And he's giving you signs. In closing, I have one more place that we need to go. That's Revelation chapter 6. And then we're going to kick this open to questions. Revelation chapter 6. For you fast students, that's the last chapter in the New Testament. I'm sorry, the last book in the New Testament. For these dumb teachers, you know, that get their tongue twisted, well, you have to overlook. Verse 12 reads of chapter 6, Revelation, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal." You'll remember what the sixth seal is. It's not 6 months. It's the seal in which Satan appears on earth. "And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell upon unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." I don't know. We're getting close to that time. The signs say it. God's word stipulates it. These things would happen. God said that these, the moon and the stars and the sun, were given 4 signs. If I were to say that this was not a sign, I certainly would not want to be informed of any. I would be that type of person that wouldn't want to be informed of anything, because we're looking not only at once in a lifetime things, we're looking at once in a dispensation kind of things. The hourglass is tipped, and the sands of time are running out, and God is talking to us in a language that we can understand. We have 2 witnesses. We have the wonders, and we have the Word. And when you put the 2 together, with the covering over and the welding together of the Holy Spirit, then each of us must decide. Is Arnold telling us that the world's coming to an end? I don't have to tell you that. The Bible has already said it. It just doesn't say when, neither have I. Okay? I haven't said that. I'm saying open your eyes. You know, God speaks to each of you on a personal level. When he gives you something, only you can understand it. unless he gives you something and says, expound that, pour that out, then that's a different story. But most often, it's something for you personally. So he has given you these signs personally, and what you do with them, then be about your Father's business and do that. I think it is fascinating. I think this is one of the most exciting times to live upon this earth. Many of the prophets even wanted to live at this time, and you're here as we observe these things come to pass. I know in all this that I've forgotten many things, so you keep studying on your own. All right? It'll come to you. But it is indeed a fantastic time. Father, we thank you, Father, for your word, for your signs. Thank you, Father, for that great stone that you have given us as a sign, the stone of destiny. With all these things, as they come to pass, we observe, Father, give us enlighten us and give us that understanding. We ask it in Jesus' precious name.